Hello and welcome to Liberal Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know right now if you're driving innovation across the world of business, design, tech, and culture. Today, I'm joined by two of our newest Liberal Mitts, as well as Keisha Quijano, Liberal producer and fellow colleague at Liberal Sessions. Hello, Keisha.
Hello. Super excited for this conversation.
Awesome. So am I. We'll kick us off with our first new Liberal Mitt, Albert Thompson. Albert is the marketer's marketer with 25 years' experience of shaping how brands show up, scale up and get back on track with working with heavy hitters like Lexus, Toyota, Unilever and countless others.
Hello, happy to be here.
And then there's Marie Meslin, the organizational rebuilder who leads with people first, a systems-minded leader who helps people-led organizations imagine what's possible and then builds the teams, programs and cultures to make it real.
Fantastic, great to be here.
Awesome, hopefully those were flattering enough intros for you guys.
Perfectly vague. I love it.
Because you do so much, I feel, you know?
A jack of all trades and a master of everything, by the sounds of it. A new report from the Arts Council in England shows that public investment in culture can enhance well-being, which I know is a huge shock to everybody here. Wellness startups are attracting, you know, big valuations all over the world. And most brands we now speak to are actively looking for different ways to design for wellness. But in the same week that this report came out last week, the culture funding got cut in the UK by our government. And that makes me wonder if you're a leader in the arts today, is it a sign that maybe a message didn't land with stakeholders or a sign that you haven't really communicated well enough yet? And opening that up to the other wider sectors outside of arts, how can you really tell if your launch fell flat because of the message, or was it just in the communication? And I feel like Marie would be a good place to start with that.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about that kind of shift between, I mean, it's an age old attitude, right? That somehow the art and culture isn't the same weight as technology. It doesn't have the same weight, right? The first program in any school department to get cut is always the arts. And there's a real reset we have to do around how we understand the arts and what they bring to us, right? And culture and creativity and artists, right? None of the brands that we just talked about before would have been anywhere without their designers, their creatives, their all of that, right? All of them pull from culture, like Albert said, right? They're all pulling from what people are doing and that kind of the future trends and all of that. So they're integral to not just our well-being, also business. So, you know, one of the things that is really important to define as well is, what do we mean by wellness? Because a lot of the way that wellness has developed is, it seems to me, it's been very individualistic. We're talking about wellness as in me, I, mental health, what am I doing? What am I wearing? Am I going to yoga, whatever? Like, it's very internal, but that's not wellness to me. Wellness is a community construct, right? We can't, like, I can't be well by myself if I'm not part of a community, if I'm not supported, if I don't have somebody to talk to. And so there is this, although we're talking about a lot of developments that are very individualistic, you know, what culture and the arts do so well is helping bring us together, helping us experience something collectively, helping us express ourselves to the outside world, to build a response, to build community. So I think we have to first stop seeing arts like a nice to have and culture like a nice to have. It's intrinsic to what makes us human. It is a complete, like, artistic expression is a human expression. Like, that is a non-negotiable. The humanities, all of that. So I don't have an answer to that, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, but there is something that we need to really be very careful here about, especially when we're in this kind of runaway tech moment, right? Where tech is kind of like going beyond our capacity to even understand what's happening, right?
For real.
And where we deal with anxiety, a lot of times what you come back to what's physical, what's there, what you can play with, how you can engage with other people, right? So it is super important that we do that. And that is a big part of wellness, is translating what's in our brains into something physical, into something that communicates with community. So, I think the wellness movement is tricky for me. It feels so individualistic. It feels so commercial. It's really taking on this whole other, you know, obviously billion-dollar industry that I have a really hard time with. And I'd love to hear what Albert thinks.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, first of all, consumption is very much rooted in culture, meaning we go into culture, it tells us what to do. We come out, we buy stuff, we consume stuff, we connect. And culture is so inherent in how we move, because culture helps us make sense of the world. It helps us sort out the BS. It creates our identity, tells us how to show up. It is the one of the most richest forms of membership. And there are certain factions of education, the arts, that teaches us very much about culture because it's rooted in it, personifies it, it accentuates the creativity in it. The things that makes us these sentient beings is what artificial intelligence, in my mind, will probably never be, because it still needs to mirror off something, or have, or its intellect is still built off something in humankind. But I think, yeah, I couldn't agree more about the idea of wellness is a community construct like many things in this world. I think people simply discount the fact that we are not meant to be alone. We are very much a collectivism. When we have more belonging, then we have greater wellness. I think the biggest problem that the world is struggling with is the constructs of community that has started to denigrate. Like, we don't go to church as much as we used to. We don't live on the same block with family. We're all spread around the countries. But we don't live where the grandparents, the cousins, everyone is there. So you have that community aspect. So if you look at the forms of membership, community, it really built each of the respective countries and kept us really rooted in our identity. They've been disintermediated. They're fragmented now. They're fragile. And it's why we have this whimsical notion of people and their identity, in particular in the younger generations. They could just jump from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing. They're not grounded in anything. Like, they don't have a brand name to who they are, saying that, oh, I'm Catholic, or my last name, you know, I'm a Thompson. I mean, a certain way we do things. Those constructs have really been sort of dismantled. So people are looking for community. It's why I gave you the analogy about Dallas Cowboys, because some people replaced religion with cowboy religion. I'm not saying I'm so mad at that. It's the truth of what it is. So we're really going to get to a place of proper wellness. Wellness has to be looked at as a community construct, a fellowship of people I belong with, I rock with. It doesn't matter if we do yoga in the park X amount of days a week. It's a cycling group I go cycle with. You see people riding in packs. That nature of collectivism is what's needed, and it's needed in a series of domains, not just in one. And it's, you know, from a professional group I roll with, to a leisure group, to a hobby group, to sub-professional, a women's group. All these things is the construct of what's needed. And then people have a greater sense of a worldly out and the ability to connect. But when you start to look at how the human brain is wired and its need to be fed, to want to be challenged, to discover new things, to travel to different places of the world, and how the community and collectivism opens that up, then you can start to understand why it's really not achieved at an individual level. The individual level is where you need the discipline to stay on frame. But it's almost like you need people, and you need your people to help move you across the aperture. And that is what we're not seeing when people are doing this all day. It is a very highly individualized experience of life.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, listen, we're not discounting, you know, some of the things that, you know, the online communities that have been able to be built. Like, some people really do need those, right? I mean, I'm not completely discounting that. I'm not discounting that at all. I think there is a place and a time for that. But I think the nuance here also is that building communities of people that you share something in common with, and building community with people you don't share as much in common, right? There's an example of this organization in Boston called The Jar. And the premise of this organization is essentially they'll reach out to six super different people and ask each person to invite four people. One person they kind of know, one person they want to know, but they don't know at all, one person they work with, and then a neighbor, right? So not the usual suspects that you would invite to something, and then collectively experience arts together and share back on that, right? I think thinking about community building in those kinds of different ways, because one of the things that is eroding is this idea that, like, I have to feel good at all times. If I don't feel good, something's wrong, right? Like, no, nothing happens. Nothing good happens without a minimum amount of struggle, a minimum amount of anxiety, a minimum amount of fear. if you're not experiencing those, you're not pushing past yourself. You're not doing something that's worth doing. So how do we build communities? And I don't have an answer, but like, how do we build communities that also have a level of that, right? Have a level of like questioning, have a level of maybe not feeling so comfortable, right? Right now, what we're doing is we're building communities that feel safe. Like my kids, you know, when they were little, they would say, oh, this doesn't feel good. And I'm like, yeah, and?
Work it out.
So that's part of it too. It's like we have to have these conversations with ourselves around where are we putting ourselves, what situation, with whom, and how. Because the other thing too about having kids is that you are constantly modeling, they are modeling their behavior on you. So if you are always with the same community, with people who look exactly like you, in the same bracket, who play the same sports, who do the da-da-da, that's how their world is going to be, right?
Yep.
They're modeling themselves after you. If you model a different behavior, they will see that there's another way possible. There's one thing that I do a lot with my kids is I send them to spend time with other women that are not me, because I don't want them to feel like that's the only way to be a woman, right? Is my version of it. No, go spend time with other women from different places or whatever to understand that there's so many different variations and pick what makes sense to you, right? So we kind of have to do that. We have to show all these variants and tell people, like, just experience it. See what you want to pick. That's innovation. Innovation is not coming up with something new. It's seeing something somewhere else, grabbing it and applying it to a different kind of methodology. We kind of need to do the same thing for our communities and ourselves.
I have a question around that one. So with all of these brands kind of building their brand community, and community is almost the kind of the word that all of these kind of brands are using, especially in kind of fashion and things like that. Do you think it is then healthy that they have the kind of what their community stands for, what it's pushing, if it all kind of seems same, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting question. If your identity is very defined, like Taylor Swift, you want the Swifties. Same thing with Beyonce with the Beehive. Those are very powerful communities that protect the master brand that you do just not mess with. Everybody, look, no one's upset about having the Swifties as their crew. Let's just be clear. Very powerful. Cowboys Nation is the same way. They could have one win in the season and they're still talking trash on every train and airplane and airport and public bar across the nation, and they mobilize all the way to Wyoming. Like, what are we talking about? That is very, very powerful. I mean, you look at other brands, Ferrari, I don't know why the brands are Italian. They have a staunch following. Those are unstoppable market forces. Apple at one point very much had that. Virgin America had that until it got bought by that other brand that seemed to do nothing with it. So these unstoppable market forces have been built on communities with almost a degree of fanaticism, the willingness to show up and defend at all costs, but very intellectually attuned to what the brand stands for and its representation, and they embody it. I think what you find is there are a lot of brands, because they've been able to move very fast to the transaction level of making money, who don't have that. I think the brilliance of a Liquid Death is a water brand. It's a unique identity mark that looks like a rock star's water, but how else are moms going to get kids to drink it? We're tweens, and they don't want Deer Park, which is my personal favorite. They look at that and they're like, oh, Liquid Death, this is cool. This is my gen, and it's water. I mean, it's an outstanding brand exercise of building a mark against an identity mark that identifies with a community. It's almost the anti-water company. I mean, look at ING Bank, same thing, the anti-bank, Esurance, the anti-insurance company. There's all these things about the anti that do well, but that's a community being tapped into. I mean, look, that was part of the success of Donald Trump as the anti-politician billionaire. For which there is a huge populace that identifies that because they didn't understand politicians anyway. Those constructs are very powerful, but they create lasting momentum if managed correctly. And those are the things that are going to weather beyond. And I think people don't understand the power of that